Choose Life, Commentary for the November 20th, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. The greatest principle is to reflect the character of God, but we are not particularly good at it. The Bible tells us God is love. Despite that, the character displayed by so many of his followers, and therefore imputed to God, is the exact opposite. It is why so many struggle with a loving, benevolent God amid so much evil, much of it perpetrated by his professed followers. Some, as in the case of Sarah driving out Hagar, is done because she could not see into the future and how her descendants and the descendants of Hagar through Ishmael would be at war for thousands of years, even to the present. Sarah's actions betray a hardness of heart that seems to underlie so many of the harsh statutes of the Old Testament and their draconian penalties. Jesus tried to awaken people to the idea that the problem was not with God's character, but their own. For example, when the question of divorce came up, he said God only allowed it because of the hardness of their hearts. As novel as this may seem, it was not a new concept. The prophet Ezekiel identified the same problem centuries before. He said that people with hearts of stone needed to receive a new heart from God. Only then could we find it possible to be in harmony with God's character of love. We too often fail to understand that this is what makes Christianity unique. A Christian seeks a heart change that will make it possible for them to love God and love their neighbor. If there is a test to determine who is and who is not in the kingdom of God, it is this. It is not a multiple choice test where we get to choose to love God without loving others, or loving our neighbor without loving God. The two are inseparable. But this idea is hard for our stony hearts to accept. We find it much easier to follow the Ten Commandments than to let God change our hearts. It is ironic, then, that those commandments carved into stone do not contain the word love. It is as though when we look at them, we are peering into our own stony hearts. Their existence condemns us for what we truly are, a hard and unforgiving people. Those commandments cannot change our hearts. They can only bring condemnation and death. But if we are honest with ourselves and recognize that those stone tablets are reflections of our own stony hearts, we can begin the process of seeking hearts after God's own. Until we recognize what we are, we cannot begin walking toward what we were meant to be. In the beginning, the Bible tells us that we were made in God's image. Then it goes on to say that we were made so to rule over the earth. Unfortunately, we really homed in on the rule over part and completely missed the part that we were to rule as God would, with love and compassion. We have stumbled over this ever since. This has been an essential element that has separated the kingdom of God from all other belief systems, even, sadly, from the power structures of institutional Christianity. Much of the reason for this is the distortion of the character of God that humankind has continually propagated. God, however, he is represented, is filled with anger and must be placated, or he will torment mankind endlessly. The ancient Aztecs, in a twisted turn on the idea of humankind having a heart problem, would offer human sacrifices by cutting out the heart of living humans and presenting the still beating heart to the sun, worshiping it as a god. The deed done, they would then toss the lifeless body down the stairs of their temple to the people below. While they may have maintained that they did this out of their great love for the sun god, it was about power and control over the people. It illustrates the result of trying to separate love of God from love of others. I doubt the human sacrifice felt very loved. In the time of ancient Israel, it was common for the surrounding cultures to offer human sacrifices, and the Jews admired those nations. In the days of the prophet Samuel, they demanded to become like them, with a king ruling over them, instead of God. But it did not end there. They also saw how those nations used their forms of worship to consolidate power over the people, up to and including human sacrifice. Over time, the kings they chose to rule over them went down the same path. It is not hard to understand that if we believe God to be a tyrant, and we believe we are made in his image, we will become tyrants toward one another as well. Then no matter what level we find ourselves in life, we consolidate what power we can to have God-like dominance over others in fulfillment of our created purpose to rule. But all of this is a distortion. We have decided we know exactly where God would have us go, and like small children, we run on ahead in the strength of our own vision with little felt need to consult with him. Little wonder that we go astray, become hurt, and construct unhealthy defense mechanisms that cause us to hurt others. All of this is because we lose sight of God's loving character and our need to emulate it. Despite ruler after ruler coming to a bad end, we continue to believe that is the path God would have us walk. Like the disciples, we think it is all about pursuing miscreants. In contrast, Jesus, who revealed a character of love and compassion, when confronted even with open sin, sought to provide healing and hope. We were created to do the same, but like Adam and Eve after the fall, we tend to point fingers, blaming and denying our own culpability. In fact, like Adam, we are more apt to blame God for our circumstances than ourselves. How much more so then to blame others? This causes us to turn from loving others to criticizing them and judging and condemning them. Then instead of being the hope and support they have a right to expect from us, we become judge, jury, and jailer. We may purport to do so in the interests of justice, but our failure to understand the compassionate nature and intent of God warps our idea of justice and we go astray, even if we did not do so maliciously. In doing so, we not only uproot the evil we feel we have discovered, but we also distort the image of God and lead others astray that might have otherwise found their way to God's love. But this not only harms them, it harms us. Love is the way of life. If we cannot turn ourselves over to God to find the path to love, empathy, and compassion, we are choosing against life and all the bright joy and hope it promises. Every time someone wrongs us and we harbor that small piece of darkness in our hearts, the stoniness it creates, however small, is a hardness that shuts out the life-giving grace of God. When we choose to embrace that feeling of being wronged, that anger at being made to be the victim, we're not choosing life. Instead of choosing the path that leads to the tree of life, we're walking toward the briars and thorns that fill life outside of Eden. That anger will continue to prick our minds, both consciously and subconsciously, until life ends, or we choose to seek healing and grace. Some feel they have the willpower to clean up their lives and try to because they think they can only come to God if they are clean. Many souls have died upon that mountain, trying to reach the summit to present themselves to God in that perfection. But this is not repentance, nor is it grace. It is simply the same distortion of the character of God, implying that he would rather condemn a person than save them. This is contrary to Christ's ministry and the hope he brought. According to Peter, even the parousia is delayed because of God's loving and compassionate character that would rather save than lose someone. Lest we think that we must become someone more loving, more compassionate, more empathetic on our own, this also feeds into the temptation to seeing God as a demanding tyrant. Instead, we need only come to Him and ask Him to create the change in us that we need. There is a reason we call Him Creator. He is great at making something from the dirtiest dirt. If we give Him our heart, He will make something beautiful. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You may find the written version of this commentary, as well as hundreds more like it, and several podcasts at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.